I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Beating your buddy in coaster flipping and him having to pay you a dollar. It's the official beer of the third shelf of my refrigerator. And Coors Light is the official beer of kicking my feet up after a grueling three-hour radio show. Do your part keeping Texas chill. Make your next beer a Coors Light. I'm John Granato, and I approve this Coors Light message.
This week on RVER, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
Hey, Chief, we got a damaged RV on its way to the OR.
Well, that sounds like a job for the new head of RV surgery.
Wait, are you promoting me?
Congrats, Martinez.
Doctor, that RV's flatlining.
Well, that sounds like a job for the new head of nursing.
So you're just promoting everyone now?
Yeah, kind of looks that way, doesn't it?
When your RV really needs saving, Progressive has you covered. See if you could save with a leader in RV insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, covered subject to policy terms.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5 brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get into our Astros halfway point grades in just a bit, but some people weighing in on their favorite bees of all time. My friend Sly said breakfast.
My friend Sly. said breakfast. And he was adamant about it. And he's a professional eater sometimes. He loves his breakfast. He can get after it.
He's like the dude that eats hot dogs on the 4th of July?
He's just a professional eater. I'll leave it at that.
I don't know what that means.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Robert, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees.
Yeah, the British Bulldog.
British Bulldog. That's an old school wrestling term. Is that what you meant by the British Bulldog? Well, you're gone.
What about Booker T?
five time.
Yeah, Booker T from our own station.
Yeah, Booker T's got to be high on that list. Brad Gilmore has to be pretty high on that list. Banana Pudding 2662 says undefeated. A lot of things are undefeated. I don't know if Banana Pudding makes that undefeated list, but Banana Pudding's very, very good.
It
short
can
list
be.
Of my favorite desserts.
Oh, not even close to that.
And but it's not even a dessert for Brendan because it's fruit.
It's true.
Josh in Beaumont says Buc-ee's.
That's a good call.
What's your favorite thing about Buc-ee's? Because mine's the bathrooms.
I was going to say the clean bathrooms, especially in the middle of a long road trip when you don't want to go in and be overwhelmed by the smell of the urinal and the nastiness that's been left all over the place. It's that's got to be up there.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about the Buc-ee's.
What about the beaver balls?
I don't believe that's what they're called. Oh. They're called the beaver nuggets. So I don't know what you're referring to. Maybe it's a Wisconsin thing.
Maybe some people will say beaver balls. I don't know. Maybe that's a delicacy in certain. I don't know.
713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. We'll transition into our Astros halfway point gradings.
That is the worst dessert on the planet.
Who said that?
Dr. Dre.
Okay, because in New Orleans, they do some bread pudding, and they do it good.
Dr. Dre is the biggest buzzkill on desserts, because he'll go carrot cake, and he'll go bread pudding.
I'm not a big fan of bread pudding, but I've had some in New Orleans. Unbelievable. The people in New Orleans, though, would make a shoe taste good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you had other alternatives, how in the hell would you take either one of those?
I'm with you. 713-780-ESPN. All right, let's go into our Astros halfway point grades, and I think Lamont is going to help us out with this. He's on the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Lamont?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the grades right now. I was going to talk about Verlander. About 2 segments ago, you guys were discussing contracts with Verlander, and And I was thinking to myself, man, the unsung hero of Verlander being in Houston is the guy that we wanted to put up on the contract was Dallas Keuchel. And you remember in 2017 in August, or it was kind of was like in July or something, he was really, really pissed off that we didn't sign anyone. And then they went out there and got Verlander. And it was just something that I thought about that a lot of people, I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. People forget about it, but to me, he was a part of the reason that Verlander got to Houston, man. Love the show, and I get an Astros a B+, an A right now.
That fits in with our favorite Bs. Appreciate it, Lamont. He's right about Keuchel,
though. We had talked about it a few weeks ago where we brought it up in passing, but yeah, I didn't kind of use that the way Lamont did to parlay into the fact that he actually maybe forced the Astros' hand a little bit, but I do remember him being a catalyst. Standing in front of his locker one day with the media, basically calling out front office to say, why haven't we done anything? Why are we not going after these guys that are going everywhere else? And then lo and behold, they got the best acquisition in the entire before the deadline.
Do you think having Verlander is more reason they didn't sign Keuchel?
I think it definitely factored in. I also thought that the price tag, the fact that he was represented by Scott Boras, and well before James Click, he was looking for a lot of money for a lot of years. Yeah. And by the way, by turning down what the Astros did end up offering him, he never made that amount in the same time frame by going and doing what he did with the White Sox and the Braves.
So if you believe that, him demanding the Astros, he didn't demand it, but he being vocal about the Astros making a trade could have led to him leaving the Houston Astros. Although I don't believe it.
They got him a ring.
They offered Keuchel. They offered him a contract. So I don't think it really played into the factor. I think it was two very separate things. Verlander being here, then trying to lock up Dallas Keuchel.
What was worse, by the way? Keuchel walking away from his deal? Or Dennis Schroeder walking away from his.
I don't think many people know Dennis Schroeder. Like, they don't
know. He played for the Rockets last year.
I'm saying his story. The story about him turning down the,
like
the big
88
contract.
Mil?
That was the reported number. Yeah. Although he kind of pushed back on that and said that wasn't the case.
Well, of course, you're going to try and soft sell it as much as possible when you got caught holding it going, what did I just do?
Yeah. Dr. Dre brings up a good point. He says, speaking of a bad B, Urquidy is now represented by Boras. That's not always a bad thing.
I'm not a fan of Scott
Lance
Boras.
McCullers. I think Altuve's even represented by Scott
Maybe
Boras.
Maybe now, because everybody's changing agents.
Boras is going to... his second contract was Boras.
You see what he did with...
If you tell Boras that you want to play for a certain team, he's going to make it happen, because he wants to make the money off your deal.
Well, it's the same reason, though, he's also going to get paid, which is why Correa signed a one-year opt-out deal, so that he could get out. So because Boras didn't get paid on this deal, he'll get paid on the next one.
He's taking care of his client.
You see what he did yesterday?
When
Juan Soto did his media availability, he stood right next to him, almost like a lawyer speaking about an ongoing case where you could chime in and say, don't answer that, and I'll take that. He sat right next to Soto to jump in and answer any of the contract or trade questions.
That's interesting, yeah. Those agents are powerful.
He's meddling, Jeremy. He's meddling. He likes to be in the mix.
Yeah, he's going to dictate where Juan Soto goes, probably. Somewhere that's going to get him paid a lot of money. But back to Lamont's point. Like, that's a good point about the Keuchel thing, because when the Astros were very quiet, July 31st trade deadline, and Jeff Luhnow even, like, quote tweeted some tweet the other day, because I think it was Apollo Dez, maybe, but they were talking about how the Verlander trade was one of the most instrumental trades in Houston Astro history, turning point for the organization, and then Luhnow, like, quote tweeted it and said, yeah, thanks to Verlander, also thanks to Crane, Click, and he mentioned Dallas Keuchel, too, because Dallas Keuchel was very vocal. And then, of course, the Astros made that trade August 31st deadline, which no longer exists. 713-780-ESPN. Let's grade Justin Verlander, because we're going to grade the Astros at the halfway point, air quotes on that, the All-Star break. Verlander in the starting pitching, what would you give the grade for the Astros?
I don't think there's any way it can't be an A, because you got the best individual pitcher maybe in baseball, but definitely in the American League for
Shane
the first
half. Shane McClanahan's been pretty good, too.
Who's he? Have you ever seen
Dusty has no idea who he is.
Then on top of that, when you factor in all the young guys have stepped up, what they've been able to do in terms of the record, the ERA, the run that they went on through the gauntlet of New York teams, you know, just overall checking every box. Yeah, they've had a bad start here or there. But overall, I don't know that there's anybody that stands out. You could say we should have done better there, or he's not living up to his standards. Even Jake Odorizzi found a way to be, you know, a contributing factor.
I mean, I have to give the Astros an A there too. I mean, Verlander, Fromber, both all stars. You throw in the fact that Javier Garcia, Urquidy, and even Jake Odorizzi have had good moments as the Astros, and then you also have two starting pitchers waiting in the wings. They can't factor into this grade. but they are waiting in the wings. It'll be interesting to see how James Click handles that. So I'll give that an A, too. How about the relief pitching for the Houston Astros?
You know, this is tough for me because you know that I still want them to get more help.
But I think you can want that and also give them an accurate grade for their results.
B plus.
I give them an A plus.
Great.
The very
We're different
best,
people with different opinions.
The very best bullpen in the entire league.
It isn't anymore, is it?
Yeah, still the highest. They have a 2.66 bullpen ERA. It's higher than the Yankees at 2.89. It's 23 points higher than the second place team with the bullpen ERA.
Is that in the entire league? That's including
Major League Baseball. That Mets? Is both okay. The AL and the NL. Mets aren't very high. Mets are like
there was
10-ish.
Somebody else that they
the Yankees
said,
are second. Tigers are third, actually. Which maybe the Astros can take a look at that bullpen ahead of the deadline.
Tigers, I said for sure. I already had mentioned at one point there was at least one pitcher I wanted the Astros to look at with the Tigers, so I'm all for that. I just, you know, look, it's about where they what they've done so far this year, so I'm totally okay with giving them an A. It's just that to me, what they need to do before they actually go for it in the playoffs is a different scenario. But yeah, I have to give them their props for what they've done so far to this point this year. So Sean, I'm fine with that.
I tip my cap to you, sir, because those are two separate things. Yeah. Like predicting versus the results so far. And they have the best bullpen ERA. Okay, how about the Houston Astro offense?
Well, I mean, it's not incomplete, but it could be. With the amount of injuries and the amount of guys that they've overcome different issues with slow starts and maybe falling off the planet, I think it's improved over the last month and a half. So I would say B minus.
Man, I was going to say B minus. I'll go C plus.
Why can't we
B-?
Agree and say the same thing?
All right, fine. B minus for the sake of accuracy. The run production has been subpar, but like the other stuff has been all right. Like the slugging.
But when you still win as many games as they've won, yeah, and you've had timely hits and walk off hits, and still have power. And have the guy. I don't think you can kill him too much.
They also have Yordan Alvarez, right? Yeah. That's part of the offensive equation. Yeah, I'll give him a B minus. There's room for improvement there.
But that's also why I throw it incomplete, because you have Yordan Alvarez. If he had stayed healthy this entire first half to this point, it might be an A simply because you got an MVP candidate, mm-hmm, and he's been ripping the cover off of it. But then you say Altuve's been hurt and Peña's been hurt on multiple occasions. There's just been too many injuries too.
I think B minus is a good grade there. Yep. I think it's a good grade because it's also room for improvement. Have they been their best? No, they haven't been their best, but they've been good enough to this point. And even pretty good to this point in some different areas. How about the Houston Astro skipper, Dusty Baker?
Oh, boy.
Favorite Bs. He's on your list.
B minus.
I don't mind. Whoa. It's a little higher than I thought.
Still guided you to more wins than losses in a very, very respectable first half. You're the second best team in the American League. Some people think you're the best overall team in baseball. You went through the stretch against the New York teams where if you didn't know what you were doing and you were completely clueless, you could have imploded. From time to time when we nitpick the little things that when Dusty's going to Dusty, it's a problem, but it's not a big issue. So I say he's got to get more passing than more leaning towards failure, and I'll go B minus.
I'll give Dusty Baker a B plus for what he has done so far to this point. Look, you base a manager on the wins at the end of the day, right? We're going to nitpick the daily lineups, how much value is there. We can nitpick what's he doing in the clubhouse. We can nitpick if he knows Shane McClanahan or not. But this team is the second best team in the American League. They've also withstood a lot of injuries to this point. Like you mentioned, Peña's been on the IL a couple of times. Altuve's been on the IL. You've had your best hitter, Yordan Alvarez, currently on the IL. Michael Brantley can't swing a bat.
Yordan, he's on the IL. I think twice.
I don't know if he...
Maybe the first time he sat out didn't go to the IL.
I don't think he went to the IL the first time. Okay. But the fact that he's been able to patch all of that together and keep it all like well above water, like they're the second best team in the American League, I think you have to give Dusty Baker credit for that. And I know that I criticize Dusty Baker. I know that I don't want Dusty Baker to be the manager beyond 2022. But Dusty's done a good job with this team when you look at it in the whole. So I'll give Dusty a B-plus there. How about James Click, the Houston Astros general manager?
I'm going to give him an incomplete.
Come on. What's his grade to this point? Incomplete?
Yeah, we haven't got to the trade deadline yet. I think that I said all along that if you're not going to re-sign Correa, which looked like the right decision to make, if you have all that money to spend and play with from what you didn't pay Correa and from what you got from the new collective bargaining agreement and from where this team is and where everybody expects them to get to, that there's still a lot of work to be done. So, therefore, I'm going to say incomplete. I'm not going to give him a grade until I get to a point in the season where we have passed his ability to make changes to make this team better, which I fully expect him to do. And if he doesn't, I'm going to have a real issue with it, which I've said all season.
I give Click also a B+. There's a lot of players that are helping you on this team that you didn't expect to get help from that I think are basically his responsibility. If you look at the bullpen, he brought in Neris, who's been very reliable at the back end. He traded for Rafael Montero when nobody saw anything in Rafael Montero. So he's helped out a lot in the back end. Other than that, he hasn't done a whole lot, right? He won Jeremy Pena over Carlos Correa, which is probably his most significant decision. Now, he did re-sign Yuli Gurriel a couple of years ago. Yuli's been heating up lately. He did re-sign Michael Brantley. Those are kind of minor additions, and you're re-signing them. You're not going out on the market to get them. There's a lot of stuff that he hasn't, you know, there's not a whole lot that you're grading Click on.
Right, that's what I'm saying, incomplete.
But the stuff that he has done stuff with, I think he's hit far more than he's missed. You know, the two in the bullpen, even the Stanek trade.
But I mean, you understand signing where I'm coming from.
Yeah, there hasn't been the Deshaun Watson trade. Right. There hasn't been something of huge
significance. As I always say, I send out my first grades and my opinions over the whole grand scheme of things once I see the first major moves to be made. Like, we know once Caserio traded Deshaun Watson, and we saw what the return was. We saw his draft classes. We know what he did and said, that dude knows what he's doing now. Now I can really say that I believe in Nick Caserio. I still don't know if I believe in James Click, because I think, like, even the Verlander move was orchestrated by Jim Crane, and we highlighted that. Yep. That wasn't a James Click decision.
I like Click overall. Has he done a whole lot? No. But sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make, right?
And the draft, I don't think he had any say-so in. I think the draft was basically his personnel guys.
Yeah, I think you have kind of a say in philosophy and what you want to do, but you are going to rely a lot on the scouting director.
But the draft was lit, right, homie? I mean, that's the kind of thing that it was straight fire, thanks to a guy that we put in charge.
713-780-ESPN, what are your Astros halfway point grades? All right, when we come back, the Will House played a word association game yesterday. We'll tell you their word association for us, but then they didn't have the courage to do it with themselves. They didn't word associate them, so we'll do the honors when we return. It might be a segment by the end of it that I'm going to have to contact HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. Maybe I have to do it for me. I might have to, you know, help out Blankers as well. But I think HR&P might be involved after the conclusion of our next segment. You know HR&P, Cougar owned by Mike Holley, used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect you and your business. Members of the Cougar 108th year in a row. You've seen the signage at the U of H games. You've seen the building off the Beltway. But give them a call, because if you're a business owner, let HR&P help you. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, HR&P can help in any or all of those facets. You want to see just the HR compliance? Well, they'll take care of that. You only need help with the onboarding, they'll take care of that. You need help with everything? They'll take care of that, because there's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big, HR&P will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs to help you out by taking a little bit or a lot off your plate. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to some stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs, so they'll be getting the leg up whenever you give them a call. Look, I'm an employee of an employer that uses HR&P. I have questions for HR&P quite often. They're always quick with an answer. They're always very helpful with an answer. So if you're an employer trying to help your employee, HR&P will satisfy that. Give them a call, 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, and let HR&P customize a plan for you. Check them out online as well, hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Not Santa brings up a good point about James Click.
You just bite your tongue and stop right there.
I forgot about this one.
Not Santa.
He said Jordan's contract alone is worth an A for Click. That's 100% true.
That is a good point.
Jordan Alvarez. Jordan Alvarez, do you think he's a better hitter than Juan Soto?
I do.
I do, too. And Juan Soto, they're looking at $500 million, 15 years, a trade package that's insane. The Astros got Jordan Alvarez for chopped liver, basically. An average annual value of just over $17 million. So that's a good point by Not Santa. All right, so the Will House yesterday, they're playing some word association. There was Jeremy Sochan. He's the rookie from Baylor. the guy that colors his hair, San Antonio.
Yes.
But they were playing a word association game, and they asked Russell Westbrook. Yeah, and they said shooting bricks or bricks with Russell Westbrook, which is funny. So the Wheelhouse, they started to bring up other Houston sports figures, other teams to, you know, word associate those sports figures, whatever, to the word that they associated it with. So they asked about the Killer Bees. And here's what the Wheelhouse had to say, their word association about our very fine radio program.
The Killer Bees.
Brendan's Puppets.
Whoa!
Hyphenated.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa! I was going to say arguing.
Okay, fair take, Jake, arguing it. Then
we argue a fair amount. We argue occasionally, but it's a discussion.
I mean, Jake and Cody argue for 45 minutes on what overrated means. So, I mean, I have no problem, though, with the argument.
The levity is always BK, who dances to the beat of his own drummer and just basically does what he wants and stays out of that.
How do you feel about Andrew Carlson, the producer of the Wheelhouse, the fourth most valuable member of the Wheelhouse, saying that the Killer Bees are Brendan's puppets?
I've already expressed to him in the hallway what I think about that. I didn't know about it till you brought it to my attention. And I'm like, you know what? Soccer matters. And it still could if you want to keep doing that. Because it wasn't too long ago that, you know, you were working in a different shift. Now suddenly you're all feeling in your feels and feeling yourself and making comments like that. Well, I'll leave it there.
Okay. So
How do you feel about him saying that?
I love any time that my name or our name or our show's name gets mentioned outside of the 12 to 3 hour. I find that to be great promotion for the show and potentially more listeners for our fine radio program.
I just want you both to know that you are real boys.
Look, Geppetto, you just slow your roll too.
Well, ask the Hive here. If you want to word associate the Killer Bees, 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Are you scared?
No, I'm not scared, Jeremy. I want to take it to it. No, I love the Hive, and this is why I want to let the Hive let it go. I want, just like you say, you know, don't, those are the people that are saying those nasty things, don't do that. 713-780. Here's what I want from the Hive. I want you to play word association with the Wheelhouse on whatever format you'd like to get it to us. Go.
All right, 713-780-ESPN.
And Andrew Carlson.
713-780-3776. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. But I wanted to, like, this was the one part, like, I think it was a fun segment. I thought it was funny. I enjoyed listening to it. The one bone that I would pick with the Wheelhouse about the word association segment, they didn't do it within themselves. So, like, okay, you throw a shot at the Killer Bees. Ha-ha, it's fun. The bench, that's great. Vanessa and Gallant, which Jake has a very specific acronym he likes to use show. I get it. It was fine. But I feel like you should also put yourself in the line of fire there. It's why I opened it up. Hey, you want to word associate the Killer Bees? Bring it, baby. 713-780-3776. You want to word associate the Wheelhouse? 713-780-3776. But because they did not word associate themselves, I feel like that we have to do the honor. I feel like we need to word associate the Wheelhouse. That way they can catch some shots here. They can take some jabs. We'll see if they can take it. So let's start with AC. We'll go from AC spot around the horn. You want to lead off for us, Brendan? What is your word association for AC?
I have some ready here, and I don't think I would qualify these as taking shots, although this one maybe a little bit. Andrew, I think, baked a chicken.
Oh, that's a good one.
I hear them talk about it all the time on their show. And a proud moment for me, you guys know my food takes and how people feel about them, was having his own show choose me to cook for them over him.
That's funny.
So baked chicken is what came to mind.
Okay, baked chicken for Andrew. What do you got, Blankers?
I think it's boiled chicken, actually, now that I say that. But
boiled, baked, okay. Both are bland.
Bland chicken.
Yeah, bland chicken. The impeccably seasoned, I hear. What do you think,
Blankers? I'm still thinking.
You're still thinking.
Yeah.
Great. All right.
Well, it is great because it's not positive, but I'm thinking.
Okay. So I guess we'll come back to yours on Andrew later. Mine is one of the best producers in the business. That's my word association with Andrew Carlson.
Busted ass
association.
Right there.
All right. Let's move on to Jake. What you got for Jake, Brendan? What's your word association for Jake?
Misery.
Misery.
Why?
And the reason is because I feel like Jake and I have bonded a lot over our shared misery in sports.
Okay.
A lot of parallels between our teams, aside from baseball, I would say.
Okay. Very good. What do you have for Jake?
Prepubescent professionalism.
Okay.
I don't think I can say anything more.
Mine for Jake is fair take Jake. I feel like he brings a lot of fair takes, and that's what I would associate to Jake. All right, BK, what do you have on this one, Brendan?
Bits. And if you listen to this whole segment, I didn't even listen to the whole segment, to be honest, but I caught bits and pieces. And it sounded like his thing was to associate the imaging with all of the shows.
Yeah.
I love a good bit.
Yeah, that was funny.
When I think of BK, I think of bits.
He's got a very good memory, that BK. What do you have for BK?
I'm going to call him Woodstock.
Woodstock?
Yep. Because he's like the hippies back in the day. He does what he wants, when he wants. He's chilling at all times. Nothing phases him one way or the other. I think he's got a boatload of talent. And I think that he, like you said with the bits, he's creative. Yeah. He's dry humored, funny. But nothing ever pushes his buttons one way or the other. And I think he's also kind of got the look. If Peanuts characters came to life in like a Broadway show, BK could play Woodstock.
I'll say
from Peanuts. That's the little yellow bird. For those of you that don't know,
Woodstock. I'll say the sports rabbi because he's kind of a leader of sports. He knows a lot about sports. I'll go sports rabbi with BK Brad Kellner. All right, what do you got for Cody?
All right, you guys. I don't feel like you guys are gonna love this one, but I'm gonna say helpful and love it or hate it. Cody's the reason I'm down here. Cody helped me get a job here in the first place.
Yeah.
When I got let go around COVID time, he helped me get a job in the meantime before I came back here. I think Cody's a great person to be friends with if you need help in this business.
I don't know why you would say we wouldn't like that. Yeah, I think it's wrong.
I'm too kind.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's okay.
Cody and I used to be friends. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
We almost shared a steak dinner together but once.
You still may.
Almost.
I could not be producing for you guys without Cody.
Oh, very good. So we thank Cody because of that. What is your words association with Cody?
I don't mean this mean-spirited, but I think Texans honk. I just think that
could go General
Junior. I just think that, or General Junior. But yeah, I think that I just think sometimes Cody is too protective of the local football team because he roots for them and he covers them and everything like that. And I think that he aspires someday to have something. I don't know whether it to be directly, indirectly, to do with them in the NFL. And I think sometimes I wish he would just let it go a little bit more than be protective of them, but I understand it, and so it's not like a slam on him.
Mine for Cody is Terrific Take Terrace. That's what I associate Cody with.
Because you live there and he doesn't?
No, I think he has terrific takes. I think he's right there on a terrace. I couldn't think better of Cody's terrific takes on the terrace. Mm. That's what I think. Corey, he says for the Wheelhouse Three Stooges. That's not very nice, Corey.
713-780-3776, or you can reach us on Twitch.
Don't send us your negative word associations for the Wheelhouse or the Killer Bees. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
Andrew Carlson, go.
We'll discuss also if your expectations for the Rockets changed after another good draft. Does the timeline speed up for Houston? It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN
97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ward associate the Killer Bees or the Wheelhouse, 713-780-3776. Not Brad Kellner says the Killer Bees equal talking points. What is our build? Like,
what does that mean?
Brad Kellner knows our imaging and our branding more than I do. Like, I know that it says talking points to say, what does it say? No talking points necessary. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says? What else does it say? We're talking sports with you, not out you.
We're the fastest 3 hours in radio, right?
I don't know a whole lot of our own imaging, which I don't know if I should be saying that on the air.
You do know the open.
The Daryl Morey and the wrestlers, the Killer Bees.
We have 10 different rejoins. It's a lot.
Also, like when we turn off the red light, like my headsets usually go off and like I'm going to get some water. I'm doing a bunch of different stuff. Blankers is talking to me. Brendan's talking. Like it's tough, right? Like I don't know our own imaging.
No, I do. I mean, I hear it, but
man. I don't know our own imaging very well.
I know commercials, too, so.
Some people on Twitch weighing in on some of these. Lucha Stutes. I like that nickname for Cody. Remember he brought it? He was wearing the wrestling garb.
Yeah, that was – look, I give Cody a lot of credit for doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first fight of the Who Said It. Yeah. That was the only one that he won.
Right.
We won the rematch. We won the rubber match, and we put Cody Stutes out of his misery. And Lucha Stutes never getting a title match ever again.
Aloha Stutes because of his Hawaiians on Friday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Mom love.
Mama Stoots?
He loves Mama Stoots.
Who doesn't love their
He's
mama?
A great, well, but I mean, some people have issues with it, but Cody is very loyal and dedicated to his mom, and I appreciate it.
As we all should be. He's okay. a very good son.
Appreciate
that
them while
Stoots.
They're here.
Awesome. You never. By the way, I went to the bathroom during the break, yeah. So I passed Andrew Carlson's.
You're
going to
stir
cubicle.
This up again, aren't you?
Well, I think we need to give it an answer for AC. Yeah.
All right. Well, then would I'm trying to high road it because I had a lot of negative thoughts because this is something that we this is something that in a previous life in my life here at Gal Media was encouraged, and it was like show on show crime, and I think that. You know, new era and try to just kind of take a new outlook on it. And then, you know, you guys have to tell me what's going on with this. And I get wind of it. And I'm just like, man. And it wasn't one of the three guys on air either. It was AC. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just I'm better off just high-roading it than what I was thinking. And I shared one of them with Brendan. I think that.
Well, I didn't get to hear it. I want to be able to hear it. Okay. So do our listeners. Our listeners want to be able to hear it.
We'll think about it.
Can you text it to me after the show?
Yes, I can do that.
Can you tweet it out after the show?
No, probably not.
You're just going to have to stay private.
I don't want to be blocked on Twitter or whatever, my account shut down.
I have no problem being called a puppet. I think it shows that we're a good teammate. It shows that we're willing to do what is good for the overall best interest of the show and the radio station at large.
I just wish I was good, as good at this as that implies.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think that we appreciate you, and you are good at what you do, and you bring a lot to our show on a daily basis. I don't think you need to put it like that.
All right. Have your expectations for the Rockets changed after another good draft? Do you think the timeline has sped up for Rafael Stone's roster?
No, because I think when you look at this, Jeremy, you have to look at it from a couple of different angles. One, the roster has improved. And that's a good thing. But I don't think it speeds it up because I think you have to look at it from the perspective of who else is playing in the Western Conference right now and where they are as a team. And I think that Portland still has Dame Lillard, and they're still trying to win, at least for the short term, and they're still adding players that are above, in terms of progression and progress, they're further along than who you have. I think that when you look at New Orleans, if they're healthy, and it's a big if, but Zion is signed now. He's not going anywhere. C.J. McCollum for a full year. You still have Brandon Ingram. You got a lot of talent in that locker room. A lot of young players that they've drafted. They're ahead of where you are. Now, the Spurs have taken a step back. But when you think about the Lakers trying to do whatever they can do just to stay relevant, and then you factor in a Nuggets team that's finally going to be healthy, and you look at what you have with the Clippers now at getting Kawhi back to go with Paul George and adding everything that they've added, including John Wall. And you think about the Warriors who aren't going anywhere and the Suns who are already a contender were the one seed and they didn't even add Kevin Durant yet. I don't think it's fair nor is it intelligent to think the Rockets are going to speed up the process and try to be a playoff team this year. And since they still have their first round pick for one more season, I don't think they need to.
I don't think it has to be this year, though. Like, do you want the timeline sped up just in general? Because, like, I don't expect the Rockets to be a playoff team this season.
It depends on what the timeline was, right?
It also, what did you have it at?
I had it at 5-7.
Ooh, that's long.
On the bad end of things, I had it at 5-7. I thought that they could get to be a playoff team in 3-5.
Okay, that's not so bad then. That's
so I think that if you factor in, you get Wall off the books at the end of this next season, and then you have money to play with that could actually fortify the roster with some veterans that want to be here that could help you get better. Now you're talking about a team that could get to the play-in tournament that could get into the playoffs conceivably.
I think it also depends on like what you're talking about in terms of returning said value. Like if you're talking about bringing in some veterans that are going to help this team, if you're talking about like a second tier player to help this team, I'm okay with those things if it's money that you're giving up. Like if you're starting to talk about trading your own first rounder when it could be a lotto pick projected, maybe a top five pick if you have a bad season, you start playing around with the Brooklyn Nets picks that you own the rights to in the future. I'm not willing to budge off of that until I feel like I'm a move away from being a serious contender. Well, if it means the money that I have in the salary cap, like, okay, bring in a good veteran that can help you.
But don't do a cap dump for a year and actually be a negative for the locker room because it's a guy that doesn't want to be here, that doesn't fit anything other than the fact that it's expiring money that
I don't mind
gets
using,
it off the books.
I don't mind using your contract to take back something valuable. Like let's just use John Wall as an example here. I know that that's not going to happen. But let's say that somebody's trying to trade a $40 million contract. You have $40 million in cap space. I would take on that contract if it means I get like a really luxurious first-round pick.
Right. If you could trade Eric Gordon not at the max money, you could trade Eric Gordon at 17 or 18 – and get a first-round pick as part of it, And the guy you take back is an expiring contract. Now you get out from Eric Gordon anyway, because instead of what he wants you to do is pick up the option, and wherever he's traded to, he wants the option to be picked up, which would mean you'd be on the books for this one and one more. Now you clear the cap space to have even more money to play with, and you get an extra first-round pick, hopefully down the road in a year when you don't have your own because of what Darryl did and left you with. That makes perfect sense. But I don't think when you think about, are you going to, you know, take on a max contract? Are you going to get you don't have enough contracts on the books that you want to get rid of that make that feasible because you've already unloaded Wall. But I do think that, look, the big thing is you've got to get guys that want to be here, that they're at a point in their career when they've accepted the fact that they're going to be a different generation and version of themselves, but they can come in here with an open mind to, I'll help the kids, but I'll still get some, I'll get some minutes. I'll get a chance to prove I can still play, and I want to contribute to whatever you guys are building in Houston. That's the kind of guy you want, not a guy that's just making another pit stop before he proves he can play somewhere else.
Right, yeah, unless you're talking about acquiring value because you're taking on a bad contract. Now you're using your – like you're letting your money work for yourself. Some financial advice that you always hear whenever you start making a little bit of money. Todd mentioning on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, Rocket fans seems that they have very unrealistic expectations going into this season. I said, what are those expectations? Because I don't really know what he was talking about. He said, I think they believe their defense is going to be legit good and can make the play-in. Look, their defense is going to be better. There's only one way to go.
How can it be anything but better?
There's only one way to go up with the Houston Rockets defense that was the worst in the entire NBA. Their defense will be better. Like, Jabari's going to add a much better defensive piece at the four than what Christian Wood was giving you. Tari Eason, like, I don't know if he's going to play more than 20, 25 minutes a game, but that's going to be an upgrade defensively. I think there's going to be more effort defensively, and they brought in a couple of coaches that you hope will help out on that end of the floor as well. I think the Rockets are going to be better. I think they're going to be a more efficient scoring team. I think they're going to be a more efficient defensive team. I don't really see them anywhere near the top eight teams in the Western Conference. I still think there's going to be a lot of learning curves with a very young team. I think we're going to see flashes of brilliance from Jabari. I think we're going to see flashes of brilliance from Jalen Green. But in terms of the 82-game season, I think this team's going to have trouble winning more than like 30, 35 games.
I agree with you. And I think that the reason why I appreciate what you said is you're going to see guys that you drafted specifically this year that are going to upgrade your defense overall just with what they bring to the table. But they're going to make mistakes. They're going to get burned. They're going to have to understand the learning curve of the NBA and the athleticism and the size and the strength of professional players as opposed to college players. But they're going to be better. But because they're going to make mistakes, because of the level of competition in the Western Conference is what I stated, I think that they're still, and I almost say thankfully, you know, on pace to be a year or so away. Let them get their feet wet. Let these young kids see what they're doing, what they can do well, and what they need to improve on and get better at defensively. But overall, I love the nucleus of the team that they have. And in another year's time, when you have all that money to spend, even a Jayshon Tate at the money he's making, if you feel like you got what you need in Tari Eason, Jayshon Tate is a piece that could get you even something else that takes you where you want to go. I think they're in a great position to get better. It's just not going to be next year.
Yeah, I think they will be better, but not in terms of like knocking
and
on the playoff door.
35 wins is still not going to get you probably in the playoff game, but it's going to show you improvement. It's Nick Caserio to a, you know, in a heartbeat.
And to circle it back to the, do you want the timeline sped up? No, I like the path that they're on. I like the timeline that they're on. Now, if we're talking next offseason where you're looking at not having a first rounder for that year after, you're talking about a bunch of cap savings, you're talking about bringing in a player without giving up some draft capital, I think that's a different conversation. But at this moment, the timeline's good, and I think you should be happy with everything the Rockets are doing. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What are the all-time great bees? Literally can mean anything from Beyonce to BJ Surhoff to a brisket. What are the all-time best bees? And will Laremy Tunsil be invested for the Houston Texans in the 2022 season? Skiller Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cody Stutes hanging out with us. You can listen to him weekdays 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We were having a conversation earlier, Cody. The best bees of all time could literally mean anything, however you want it to mean. The best bees ever. What is on your list?
I'm assuming that two answers are off the board based on what the FCC's allowed us to say on the radio.
I went with both of them.
Yeah.
I actually let them fly.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Those would be on the top of my list.
Those were either three.
Yeah, three, actually.
Yeah, they were three.
One pair and then one other thing.
No, there were. There was an action. There was anatomy.
Yeah, one's a verb and one's a noun that describes a pair.
My grammar's not very good.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah. Now, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And from a male perspective, there was one that actually was a character on the Howard Stern Show.
Baba Booey?
Okay, right. Got it?
There you go.
I didn't watch a whole lot of Stern or listen to a whole lot of Stern. Did y'all?
Not really.
There was a time that late night you could catch it.
Yeah,
and I would catch some of it,
maybe.
And some of the guests he had. But surprisingly, fun fact that I'm sure my wife will not love me sharing, when I have to move her car sometimes at night, she'll go randomly and listen to the Howard Stern Show on satellite.
Huh. Maybe like a good guest she likes.
Yeah,
or something?
Like guests and things like that.
Is he a good interviewer?
He can be because he's not afraid to ask anything to anybody.
I feel like he used to be elite and now he's kind of not as good.
Because he's cashing it in.
Yeah.
He's making such big dollars. He doesn't want to pull the rug out of right from under himself by doing something stupid.
Like Jim Rome?
No, like what was the guy that really, because Jim Rome's still relevant. I mean, he's not relevant per se, but he's still making money and still has a deal.
Yeah. Stern.
No, it's what's the guy that Don Imus.
Oh, yeah.
Don Imus with the women's basketball comments and things like that. Yeah. Don Imus was the guy that completely just killed himself.
Yeah, he did that.
Self-inflicted wound.
Very much. Brendan's favorite B was bread.
Well, that's
one of them.
It's good.
He was a big fan of the bread. Like, it's hard for me to go away from food. So, like, brisket, beef, buffalo wings, banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
I think that all of those are being on the
blueberries,
beer, bourbon, especially bourbon. Gentle Ben bourbon.
Blessings. I mean,
blessings
are very good. There's so many great bees. How about Beyonce,
beaches.
The queen bee? Beaches isn't one that came up. That's a very good one.
Bikinis,
I love a
beach houses.
Oh, like
beach houses are great.
Yeah. Yep.
Beach houses are great. There's so many great bees. So many great bees. 713-780-ESPN.
I thought for sure you'd say blank. If not Branham.
Well, I figured somebody already said those.
Well, they
actually, to much of your surprise, they've not.
No.
We did get a Brian Abreu, though.
Which was not nice and was directed at me, probably.
A Brian Abreu came up, though. Twitch wants us to ask you about your four most overrated football players in the NFL.
Oh, okay.
This was funny.
Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Ooh, Brendan.
People act like Matt Stafford is just all of a sudden one of these top seven or eight quarterbacks when really Sean McVay could have done that with most of the quarterbacks in the National Football
League. Kind
of
did it with Jared
Goff. Where do you think Matthew Stafford is ranked based on popular opinion?
In the top 10.
And where do you think he's ranked based on your listing?
Reality.
Outside the top 10.
I know, but like where? Like, because that means he
13?
Could be 10th and you could think he's 11th. That's not really overrated.
Well, that would fit.
Slightly,
that would
barely.
Fit,
but
that,
not,
that
but
would fit overrated.
Sure, but it wouldn't fit the most overrated player in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's in the early teens.
Okay. I don't want to play
and
the
people
math
act
game
like he's
here.
A top eight guy.
That's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, it's a big difference for me, though.
And it's okay, if you want to go like quarterback position two and like.
Yeah, it's a big difference for me. Number two was Darren Waller. Darren Waller gets talked about as an elite tight end, but he's not Kittle, Andrews, or Kelce.
I think he's a second tier tight end.
Okay.
He's also older than people think, as Jeremy pointed out.
Yeah. So I think the tier situation is kind of where it plays into me. People put him in tier one, but he's actually tier two.
He's not Kelce Kittle.
Thus, overrated.
I wouldn't even go Andrews that high.
Like,
you might. Now, I wouldn't put Andrews in the Waller tier, so now I might go three tiers and go Kelce Kittle. Kelce might even be in a tier by himself. But it's like Kelce Kittle, maybe a drop. Andrews, maybe a drop. Third tier tight ends.
Going into this season, I'd actually rather have Andrews than Kelce.
See, it might come.
Age has caught up to Kelce a little bit, and Andrews is Andrews has done it with a less pass friendly quarterback and basically no help around him.
It's not being
whereas,
more pass friendly.
I hear
though.
That, but I think whereas, that Travis Kelce is considered a wide receiver one in a lot of people's minds, regardless of what his position says.
Yeah,
I don't think Mark Andrews is.
Oh no, I think he is. He's the best pass catcher in Baltimore. He's better than most.
They traded away Hollywood Brown.
He was the number one pass catcher before Hollywood Brown left. And Andrews is better than a lot of teams' one number one wide receiver.
Are you talking about better in terms of their like who you their think ability? They are as a player.
How much a defense has to get ready for him and how dominant that guy can be within a game.
See, I was about to ask you from like a numbers perspective because there's no way Mark Andrews is going to put up the numbers Travis Kelce does barring injury.
I'm just saying going into this season, I like Andrews a little bit more than I like Kelce.
Are you drafting Mark Andrews ahead of Travis Kelce in fantasy football?
I'd consider it, yes.
I hope to be in your fantasy football league.
You know, one thing you got to factor in, too, is how many times he's targeted. We know that Lamar Jackson, and it, like you said, this year it's going to be even more than that. He's going to target him all the time.
Yeah.
Like they, the 80% just, of the time that Rodgers targeted Davante Adams.
Yeah, they just throw a little bit less overall. So, like, the opportunities Kelce gets is, like, a little bit higher. You want me to finish the list real quick?
Yeah.
Number three is Quentin Nelson. Now, again, within the parameters of how I framed the question, which was hard for Jake Asman to understand, is – people talk about him as one of the best football players overall in the
league.
Didn't
he just get best lineman?
And I correct. Well, he is the best lineman, and I won't disagree with that, and I won't argue against that point, and I've never argued against that point. But when you compare him to so many other football players, I'd rather have so many other guys than him.
At different positions, you're saying.
That's why I deemed him overrated. And then almost every left tackle in the National Football League is overrated.
You don't think it's an important position, huh?
It's not nearly as important as people make it out to be. It gets talked about as like pass rusher. It gets talked about in the same vein as pass rusher and lockdown cornerback and elite wide receiver, and it's just not quite there.
So you would have an elite wide receiver before an elite left tackle?
Oh, absolutely.
Does it matter who your quarterback is? Because if I have Pat Mahomes, I'd rather have an elite left tackle than an elite receiver.
Didn't the Bengals just prove to you that it's not as important because instead of drafting an offensive lineman when their lineman was terrible, they went and got a receiver?
Well, Whitworth's not some dominant monster at left tackle. He's good, but he's not the best left tackle in football. I think my biggest example is the best left tackle in football was on the worst team in football for all those years in Cleveland. A lot of good it did to have Joe Thomas on that team when he was the best left tackle in football for Cleveland all those years. And it goes back to like when the Ravens won the Super Bowl many years ago, and look, I'm going far back here. Bryant McKinney was their left tackle. They got him kind of off the scrap heap and ended up playing left tackle for him. Donovan Smith's the left tackle for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eric Fisher wasn't one of the 10 best left tackles when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I just don't feel like you have to have a great left tackle to be an elite football team. And so many people just lump it in. Bill, yeah, and part of the reason the Texans are in crappy situation is because O'Brien felt
that way.
That's
why I said it, because he valued it so high that he gave away value that to that level to try and get him.
And if you just kicked Titus Howard over there left tackle, you probably could have made it work and, I don't know, not giving away those draft picks.
I like your side of this argument. I found it interesting because I loved the argument that you and Jake had, which was great because y'all call us arguers, but y'all argued for 45 minutes about what is overrated and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was about Quentin Nelson, that he is the best player at his position, so how can he be overrated? You talked about the value that other positions have over just a left guard. My comparison that I thought of, it's a cross-talk, like it's a cross-sport reference here. Who's the best closer in baseball? Like, let's just throw a name out there. Let's just assume for a second.
Josh Hader.
Okay, Josh Hader's the best closer in baseball. He's the best closer in baseball. But is he more valuable than the 10th best starting pitcher in all of baseball?
Probably not.
I rest my case.
Yeah, and how many times a day, I mean, how many times in a week you're going to use him as opposed to a player that plays every day that hits 300 and also hits bombs.
And that's Cody's point. Like, a left guard's not going to bring that value of left tackle, but I'll say an elite wide receiver, an elite edge rusher, an elite corner.
Yeah. Exactly.
And well, I don't like that we're this simpatico.
Even within Jake's argument, if you just took the best player at every position, I'll take the best corner, the best edge rusher, the best outside linebacker, the best quarterback, the best tight end. I'd take all those in football ahead of Quentin Nelson. I'd take the best right tackle in football over Quentin Nelson. Tackles are more valuable than guards.
What do you think about centers?
I think it's at well price, right?
I think center would be really low on my
counts list. The same or counts less?
It would be much lower on my list. I'd rather have a dominant defensive tackle.
So I'm saying center or guard?
Guard.
I think it's relatively even, but
it's pretty close.
Down the pecking
it's pretty close, but I would say guard just because inherently they can get out a little bit easier to assist you in the run.
I think there is a value though in a center that's also your secondary call, you know, reading of the defense and also, you know, how you, especially with somebody going shotgun heavy.
Especially they're
making
to be
able
business.
To deliver the football. We know one bad snap can cost you in a shotgun.
Speaking of overrated left tackles, Laremy Tunsil, entering the 2022 season, we know the story last year, thumb injury, didn't have to miss the rest of the season, missed the rest of the season. How much do you think Laremy Tunsil will be invested in the Houston Texans in 2022?
It's hard for me to say that he's going to be really invested because they, you know, Lance has talked about the deals they've had to make with him to get him into practice. Now, maybe with a better overall feeling and vibe, in the building. Tunsil gets a little bit more dialed in and gets a little bit more excited. And I believe he's got to think, too, that there's long-term ramifications when it comes to a contract extension if he doesn't play well and play ball. I don't believe he's on the Houston Texans in 2023.
I don't either.
So I believe he's looking for a really solid season this year and then a team that wants to get him and sign him up to a long-term deal.
I said whether it's the trade deadline or the fact that as much has leaked out about him in the last year and a half to 2 years, that he kind of recreates the narrative while he shows he can still play for his next contract. He's playing for himself this year as much as you want him to play for the Texans.
It's funny because the rest of the league kind of hadn't caught up to the mercenary tendency that Laremy Tunsil has, because ESPN polled executives, scouts, coaches, mm-hmm. and people in the league. He ended up as the sixth best left tackle in football, and the guy that played last year was not the sixth best left tackle in football.
The best Laremy Tunsil, though, where do you think he is on that list? Because I think he's top five potential, top 10, like three quarters of his potential.
I bet you there's some scouts that would tell you he's got top three potential. Sure. Just the ability, no doubt. Still, the ability to get that out of him is just not really present.
Like I said to Jeremy, Lance is factoring it more and more, the love of the game. Some guys don't have a love of the game. They just love the paycheck.
Yeah, well, to get a bigger paycheck, he's going to have to play a lot better this year. So maybe there's some usefulness in him this year.
From a Caserio point of view, though, if you know Laremy Tunsil's not going to be a Houston Texan in 2023, he made the right decision not trading him this past offseason. Why are you trading a great commodity when it's at his lowest value?
Yeah.
So like a Caserio stock market guy, pretty
wise.
But
you know he's got to earn it, so at some point he has to play for you.
Yeah, but I think he can improve his value if you're looking to trade him.
I agree. He has to play for you, not milk an injury.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today, Cody?
No BK today, but Andrew will take over Hypothetical Tuesday, which should be quite the trip.
All right. That
Warren Moon
good.
At 5:30.
Jim Henson. Oh,
the prettiest spiral of all time. He used to trim his fingernails on the sideline to throw pretty spirals.
The Muppeteer is joining you? Oh, he's just producing.
I also saw that Warren Moon is like a soccer coach at like some Division III European team. Don't tell me why I know that. Maybe it was Andrew that told me. All right, that's it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brad. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.